is Mike TV episode 54 for the week of August 10th, 2020. We are your Mike TV co-hosts, Lisa and Dean. Hello, Dean.
Hey, Lisa, how are you doing tonight?
Fantastic. And today we are joined by our very special guest. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! All the whistles, all the horns. Our very special guest, Roby Neely, has joined us. Yay!
What? Hello, remotes.
What's up, remotes one?
How are y'all doing tonight?
We are just wonderful. Excited to dive into some television talk with you, Roby. And thank you for coming on tonight. We have some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. discussion ahead. But before we dive into that, I want to talk about some shows that are coming up that we are looking forward to that we will be discussing in the near future. And that is, of course, starting this Sunday on HBO. And that is Lovecraft Country. Dean, a highly anticipated show for both of us. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I finally watched the Comic-Con trailer and the most recent trailers for it. It looks creepy. It looks provocative. It looks like HBO, again, is going to make a great show that is race-related but not pushing race down your face. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's actually bringing out topical subjects in a way that is not, like I said, just – in your face, shoving it down your throat. I'm sure our friend Tim Andrews might never watch this show because it's too provocative for him. But
it's a little too woke.
But I think it looks good. Roby, what you think? Have you seen the trailers for Lovecraft Country?
I have not seen a single trailer yet.
Well, it looks like it's going to be good. It's monsters versus the mm-hmm. racist South of the '60s. So you sure. know. Can't go wrong with that.
H.P. Lovecraft monsters. If you're familiar with H.P. Lovecraft stories, they're going to bring this into this world.
Yes.
The monsters they've shown already look incredible. I mean, this is on par with Stranger Things. I think if you like the Stranger Things creatures, you'll dig this. Right.
Well, and I think it's supposed to be a good look at it. The book that it's based on is it's a way of looking at the Jim Crow South through the eyes of like a overly conspiracy / supernatural theme, as if like the racists were all actually, you know, these Cthulhu or whatever that monster, the squid monster, Cthulhu mm-hmm. or whatever that is. If they're all, yeah, they're mm-hmm. all worshiping him. So it's all like cult based. And so it's fiction versus fictionalized history. And again, I think HBO did a great job with Watchmen with this concept mm-hmm. of putting this together. I think they will do a good job with this without making it too over the top. I know, of course, like we joke, but some people got a little with Watchmen. Oh, it's a little too woke. It's too much in your face. I don't think it was at all. I don't think this
Tim Andrews.
I think it will be a good show and will have good poignant thoughts, but also be very entertaining.
I agree. I'm looking very forward to the story. I know we will be discussing it further. And The Boys, something we've already talked about. Oh my gosh, we're only 21 days or so from...
Hold on, Roby. You asked who the showrunners were. The showrunners are J.J. Abrams and Jordan Peele.
Oh, sorry. Yes, okay, names good. I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes, I. Yeah. Very good. That's a very good.
Yes, and then of course The Boys.
Right, yeah.
The Boys, which we all loved season one. We've talked about it. We're just 3 weeks away from that, and we will be covering that. So more to come. Anybody who's listening to this and hasn't watched season one of The Boys, I mean, come on. What are you doing? Stop everything and just go watch it. And then lastly, a show that we were very much looking forward to. Fargo season four, which got pushed back. It had a May release date. COVID messed it all up. And now it has a new release date, September 27th. So now we're going to have some crossover, Dean. Once again, we're going to be hit with trying to cover The Boys and possibly Fargo week to week.
Yeah, I think we should be able to do it. I know The Boys is releasing the first three episodes on the first week, and then it's going to be the next five afterwards. So I'm hoping we'll only get about 1 or 2 weeks of overlap. So, Roby, I know you've been pretty excited about Fargo, right? Like, you've been caught up, and you've been pushing us to make sure, because I know you were excited when we were looking to do it in the spring. So what are your thoughts on hopefully this next season?
What I'd really like to see is a tie-in to season two with the Gerhardt family.
Yeah.
I really think one of the characters is going to be the mom, and one of the characters will be the old man. I can't think of the names right now.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be the one. They're going to be in Kansas City. They're going to be in Kansas City, and they're going to be the ones that tie into Fargo with season two, because there's always going to be a tie-in somewhere. And you may not know it till the last episode, but I think one of the characters will be moving north from Kansas City that way.
Yeah, I hope they don't – the biggest thing I didn't like from season two was the whole UFO plot, the storyline.
It was
didn't bother me.
Didn't it kind of fit the time period just right?
I mean, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, loved season one so much, and then they go that route season two. It just didn't seem to fit for me.
That UFO had a through line of all the seasons. They teased it a little in season one. I don't remember how. I have to go back and rewatch it all, which I'll never have time to do. But that UFO thing is something that is continuity among all the seasons.
Oh, then I missed it season one.
I think it was very, very, very hidden in season one. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I swear I've heard and or read that. So I'm sure that is a Googleable fact. What say you, Roby?
Well, the season two dad in the diner was, of course, the sheriff who saw the UFO right during the gunfight.
Right. Yeah, and I guess he mentions it in season one. Yeah.
Good memory.
Thank you.
I wanted to quickly touch on the Emmy nominations we talked about a couple episodes ago, Dean, and we made some pre-predictions or pre-Emmy nominations before the nominations. We kind of came up with our own, and we looked at some of like the Vegas odds or whatever they were. And then since then, the actual nominations came out, and some were on par with what we thought, and there were a few surprises. And Radio Labyrinth also covered the full list a couple weeks ago, so I encourage everyone to go back and check that episode out. I don't think it was this current week's episode. I think it was last week's. I think it was last week's. And they did talk about the two real obvious snubs from this Emmy list, which really, every time I think about it, I just get so angry. It infuriates me that neither Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul was nominated for Best Actor in a Drama, nor Ray Seahorn. Not nominated at all in supporting.
Wait, don't you mean Rhea Seahorn?
I mean, it's Ray Seahorn. Anybody who knows that knows. I could not believe Radio Labyrinth. Come on, you guys.
The podcast I've been listening to lately said Rhea Seahorn.
Yeah, I heard that on Radio Labyrinth, and I gotta just dig in a little. Come on, you guys. We all know it's not Rhea Seahorn. Who told you that?
Tim Andrews.
This just goes to show why I do not pay any attention to the Emmys, to the Grammys, to any award show, because they're never going to get it right. They're always going to get it wrong. And I'm going to vote with watching my shows that I want to watch.
I agree. They got some things right. Let's just talk about a couple of lists, and you guys tell me who you think should win. Best Drama Series, Better Call Saul, The Crown, The Handmaid's Tale, Killing Eve, The Mandalorian, which I do want to talk about, Ozark, Stranger Things, or Succession. What should win and what will win? Roby, go.
I don't know.
D, go.
I think Better Call Saul should win.
Yes.
Yep. And as far as what will win, Handmaid's Tale will win.
No, I don't think so. I think this past season, I'm surprised it was even nominated, to be honest with you. I think Better Call Saul should win.
That's why it'll win.
Yeah. Better Call Saul should win. I think the The Crown, I believe, will win.
Ooh. I'm going with Succession will win, and Succession should win.
Ooh.
I'll give it to Better Call Saul next season in its final season. That's when I believe Better Call Saul will really shine. But Succession season 2 is just practically perfect from start to finish.
Only you would know.
Well, you guys should watch Succession. Anyway, moving on. Comedy series, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Dead to Me, The Good Place, Insecure, The Kominsky Method, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Schitt's Creek, and the surprise, What We Do in the Shadows, got nominated. I was so excited.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow.
That's what should win.
No, Maisel will win, of course.
Maisel will win. Maisel will win. But What We Do in the Shadows was just
Maisel
awesome.
Will win. Maisel should win.
Maisel was really good. Yeah. Agree. All right. And limited series. I don't think there's any discussion here. Little Fires Everywhere, Mrs. America, Unbelievable, Unorthodox, or the best show of 2019, Watchmen. Watchmen will win. Watchmen should win.
I think Watchmen got like a record-breaking nominations, right? Or something like that. I mean, they got like 12 nominations or something ridiculous like that. So the critics love Watchmen. It is, even though I don't really think it's as woke as people say it's woke, because I don't think it's in-your-face woke. It fills that category for all these critics, because it's a quote unquote black show and people love that. They're going to win it, and they should, but they should win it. Like, they should win it not for the wokeness. They should win it because it's an awesome ass show.
It was perfect. And Regina King should win for her nomination, and so on and so forth. And every actor and actress that was nominated from that show should win.
Yeah, but what about the actors that are nominated against each other? Lisa, who should win that?
I don't think there are any. Jeremy Irons is nominated for lead actor in a limited series. Regina King for lead actress in a limited series. And then...
That's right, because our boy Mirror Guy wasn't nominated, was he?
He was not, sadly. Ooh. But...
Yeah, but Dr. Manhattan was.
I thought...
Whose name I cannot pronounce, so...
Hold on. No. He was. Okay, yes. Jovan Adepo and Louis Gossett Jr. and Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
Oh, so that's three people. Yeah, so three people were nominated for supporting, right? Yahya should win, though.
I think Louis Gossett Jr. He was so good.
Yeah, I think he was better than Yaya, to be honest.
They were all good. They all deserve that. And then, to my complete delight, Jean Smart for supporting actress.
Roby, did you watch Watchmen?
Of course.
Yeah, of course I watched Watchmen. We argued about it.
That's right.
Endlessly,
yeah.
On Twitter.
That's right. That's when you actually got into it with us.
Not us. Wait a second.
No. Like, you know, he got. I feel like Watchmen was when Roby first like really got into our. Wasn't Watchmen when? Or no, you were with us back in Legion.
Preacher.
Yeah. Or Preacher is when you started.
I was with you back in Legion. But
okay.
When I actually started commenting, Lisa actually went through and picked out a Twitter comment I made one night. And from then on, I was just making comments because nobody else was.
Right, yeah, no one else. Oh, no.
Somebody make a comment.
Hey, it's like they say, as long as you got one person clapping for you, other people, that's all you need.
Other people join in. I need remotes 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 to show up.
You're going to have to recruit them, Roby. All right, let's move into – that's really – that. Anybody else want to say anything about the Emmys, or should we just move into what we've been watching?
I will just say we talked about the snubs of Better Call Saul, which, of course, sucks. Like, I mean, the fact that it, not just Racy Horn, but also Odenkirk wasn't nominated. No. But the other person that we both thought should have been, it was snubbed for two possible things, was Aaron Paul for either Westworld, but more importantly, the fact that he wasn't nominated for El Camino.
Agree.
I thought sucked.
Agree. However, Giancarlo Esposito from Better Call Saul was nominated, and I thought that was a very deserving nomination.
Yeah, but...
But Lalo, the guy who played Lalo, is really the one who... and I always forget his name. Dean, you know his name.
Oh, I do until you ask me, like, right off the top of my head. Yeah, no. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. I do love him, though.
Yeah. Lalo's who should have gotten the supporting actor nod for this season. And of course, Gus, but...
He definitely should have. He chewed scenery like nobody else
this season. All right, we will move on to what we've been watching.
It's Tony Dalton. Tony Dalton is Lalo.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Dean. And he absolutely deserves recognition. But maybe next season, Better Call Saul ought to just sweep it all away.
No, it was totally not Wikipedia. It was definitely IMDb.
Whatever it takes. So what we've been watching, I mentioned The Mandalorian that got the Emmy nomination. And of course, Dean, when you and I did our super famous, world famous episode of Top 19 Shows of 2019, I had not yet watched The Mandalorian because I was late to the party, admittedly. Knew that I one day would watch it and love it. And so I added that to my list with an asterisk and, you know, knowing that it would slide right in. I think we both got an asterisk show to throw in, and mine was The Mandalorian, sight unseen. Well, now I am happy to say, oh my God, that show is so good.
Yeah. The best thing to happen to Star Wars since maybe Star Wars.
Yeah, it is. It is the absolute best. Even if you don't like Star Wars, you will love this show. Everything about it is beautiful and wonderful and spectacular. And again, if you do like Star Wars in any way, it'll just make you fall back in love with what you always wanted Star Wars to be.
It's only a half hour episode, but it feels like it's an hour. It's so well constructed. They put so much storytelling into a half hour.
It's the most entertaining slow show I've ever seen. Like for it to be so slow paced, you are just, and I don't know if it's the visuals are just amazing, and the lack of dialogue sometimes is amazing. Like, it is such a great, slow-driven show. But then by the last three episodes, it just fucking kicks into gear. And it drags a little bit about episode 3 through 6, and then it just kicks ass throughout the end of it. It's so good.
I didn't find it dragged at all. Pedro Pascal, absolutely phenomenal. And what was amazing in the between the costume design and the music, you could feel how he emoted, even though you couldn't see his face. Incredible. And I'm you got to credit the actor, yeah. I guess, with just the way he carried his body. And also his inflection in his voice, but the music, and also it's the costume design and how he would tilt his head and things like that. You could tell exactly what he was thinking. And that was incredible that they were able to pull that off. And that was mostly the music, right, Roby?
Yeah. It was mostly the music, but... It's just the pacing. I think the pacing is what helped with the storytelling and his emoting. You know, he sit there. How do you put this? He let it sit there for a second. It wasn't rush from scene to scene or you know, he'd make a movement and it and he gave you time to realize what he was doing, what he was thinking.
Well, I absolutely loved him, and goes without saying, Baby Yoda. And I know he's not Yoda. I know. He's after Yoda's already dead. I know. I understand the timeline. But I don't care. I call him Baby Yoda because he's so damn cute. Oh, my God. Every time, everything he did delighted me. Every moment he was on screen, absolutely delighted me.
I will give you both said how the emotion of the Mandalorian is without even just the voice. So even though Pedro Pascal gets the credit, you got to give it up to the two actors. I think their name, Brandon Wayne and Latif Crowder, are the body doubles who actually did most of the body acting, because most of it is not Pedro Pascal in that suit. It's really? Two other, yeah. In fact, that was a big thing when they were talking about him possibly getting an Emmy nod, was that he actually shouldn't, because he actually doesn't do most of the physical acting in this. So Pascal does a great job with the voice, but it's actually other actors. Like, it's a team effort to make this so awesome. And like you said, what makes even the child, Baby Yoda, so great is Jon Favreau, who is the director of most of this, the creator of this, his use of going back to practical effects as opposed to just everything CGI. And even the backdrops and stuff are like a mixture of old paint sets, but also if you've seen the behind the scenes, they basically had these giant like plasma screen, LCD screens behind them that would put the backgrounds behind them. So it wasn't CGI. They actually had video behind them playing these scenes as they filmed it. And so it's an amazing technical creation
that achievement.
They did with this. Yeah, and it goes so past what these fucking new Star Wars movies are of just, 98% green
garbage.
Screen and CGI. So yeah. I give total credit to Jon Favreau freaking knocking this out of the park. I can't wait to the next season coming out later this year.
I'm very stoked for it. And speaking of the set design, I love how when they rolled credits, the renderings they would show at the end of every episode. Never had I been more excited to watch credits for, a show. Just everything from start to finish. I didn't miss a beat of it, and I couldn't stop once I started, like everybody told me would happen. I will definitely be current with season 2. And I mean, and even the some of the guest characters that were on this season, I really was excited to see. Again, we talked about Giancarlo Esposito. His role was amazing. Ming-Na Wen had a great role.
Bill Burr.
We're about to talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and, I love some Ming-Na Wen. She was absolutely awesome. Taika Waititi was fantastic. Nick Nolte, of course. just a great show. Gosh, sorry I was so late to watch it, but just loved it. Another show that I've just finished, and Dean, I think you have as well. We don't have to go into it with too much detail, but a current show, not a year old show. Perry Mason on HBO wrapped up its season one with a really good finale, a nice ending to this season, a nice kind of setup for season two. This show just was the little sleeper show that absolutely delighted me. I'm sure it's 80% Matthew Rhys and 15% set design and just overall sweeping spectacle, and then like 5% story. But I still loved it.
Yeah, I know we talked the other week, and I had said that I thought it was a little bit slow. And I'm going to stick with that. I still think it's a little slow. I enjoyed it when I finally watched the I enjoyed it once I binged the end of it. I waited for the last five episodes. I binged all the last five. Mm-hmm. But it's slow paced. It's good acting. It's good set design. It looks really pretty. I don't know how you make multiple series out of this, especially considering the original was like a Law and Order type procedural week by week different case show. I don't see how they draw out an 8 to 10 episode season every year with this, especially once now that he's a lawyer. Yeah, but I mean, even by this, like they drew this whole season out, and by the end of it, it was like nothing really came. There was no shocking twist at the end. Like the twist was already there, like by episode 6, and you already knew what happened. There was no. I wasn't enthralled by the end. I mean, I liked it. That's weird saying. I liked watching and I enjoyed it, but I wasn't surprised by anything. I wasn't, there was no shock twist at the end. There was no cliffhanger at the end. It was kind of blah.
Well, they didn't know they were getting a second season.
Well, but if that's the case, then it really would bore the hell out of me, because that's what you're telling me was the whole season. Like there wasn't even like a big thing at the end. Like that sucks.
There was a neat little thing with Tatiana Maslany.
I give it. Like I said, I give it who is that? The evangelical girl?
Yes, Sister Alice.
Yeah, who cares? She's a fraud, and then she just ends up being somewhere. Like, as far
spoiler
as visuals,
alert.
Well, it doesn't even matter. As far as visuals and
was
concept,
she a fraud though? Was she? I don't think that was really confirmed. I think
it was pretty clear she was not.
Oh,
she wasn't necessarily
how her
a
mother
fraud.
Was at the end.
I don't think necessarily she was a fraud, but she just wasn't. I mean,
I think she felt like she still had a connection to God, but obviously not one where she could raise the dead.
Acting, I give it a 9 out of 10. Set design, I give it a 9 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Are you kidding?
Yeah, whatever. But plot and story, I give it a 6 out of 10.
Seven and a half.
I wouldn't be excited about season 2. Let's put it that way.
I'm super thrilled. Acting is an 11 out of 10 because of Matthew Rhys and all of his wonderfulness. Matthew Rhys might... He may have taken over the number one spot over Justin Theroux for me.
Poor man Edward Norton.
No way. Rich man Edward Norton. Edward Norton's a poor man Matthew Rhys.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. Roby, please watch Perry Mason and
right
report
now,
back. Say it again.
Right now, it is an asterisk. right now, it is an asterisk in my DVR, which I will watch it. I'm sure I will enjoy it. And Dean, I have a way that you will enjoy season 2. If they do it almost like a Better Call Saul or something like that, you've got a main story arc that lasts over the whole season. And you've got little courtroom story arcs, one or two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think you will enjoy a season 2 a lot more. Just based on what you said with me having never seen it.
I actually, that's funny. Without you ever seeing it, I actually think that that is the best way that they could go forward, is that because now that he is a lawyer, They do these kind of mini courtroom things where he's getting his bearings as a lawyer, but there is this overarching thing. So, Roby, that is a genius, never been seen prediction. That I love that you've never seen it, but you're absolutely right. I think that would actually work if they do it that way. Now, I don't know if they'll do it that way, but you're absolutely right. I think that would make it work.
There is still some emotional drama to be had with the story with Perry Mason. So that you know, Roby, it starts off, it's an origin story of Perry Mason before he's a lawyer. The show starts, he's a detective in the 30s or late 20s. No, it's 1930 because they do celebrate the New Year's for 1931 or something like that. It goes into 31. And he starts out as a detective and then through the course of season one becomes a lawyer in a very interesting way, not a traditional way. And I think what else will be interesting to see, and then they also establish like this family drama. He's got this ex-wife and kid. There's a little bit of drama there. There's this drama with his family's dairy farm that he inherited, that he's the last Mason to keep this, you know, like legacy going. And, you know, he's very attached to his family legacy, but he can't afford to keep it up. And this woman that he's screwing, buys the land out from under him. And that's kind of interesting.
Boring.
And I guess Dean didn't like it. There's Della Stree, who I think has a pretty she really captivated me by the end of the season. I'm very interested in seeing more of her character. And there was something. Oh, and Shea Whigham's character, whose name is escaping me right now. But, you know, how he kind of went over to the other side a little bit at the end. And so that's a good setup for season two. Bringing in Chris Chalk's character. If anybody who watched Gotham, I think, Dean, Roby, you watched Gotham. Chris Chalk, who played Lucius Fox on Gotham. He's in this as another, I can't think of his name either, but he's a detective. They bring in names from the original Perry Mason and from the Perry Mason book. But I love the setup at the end with them taking over the firm and Chris Chalk's character now kind of in Perry Mason's old role and Perry Mason's and EB's old role. I don't know, Dean. I think there's – and because Mason's a new lawyer – he's a little green at it, right? So he makes courtroom faux pas that are actually kind of fun and funny. And I think we'll see more of that as well.
All right.
And last show I want to touch on that I've been watching, again, a little late to the party, but Dean, I think we have to really dive into this a little, and we both need to commit to finishing it. And that is Devs on Hulu. I'm finally started watching it. I absolutely love it. I'm in the 6th episode, 6 of 8. This is a limited series. It's a commitment of 8 episodes and you're done. Nick Offerman is incredible in it as Forrest. I absolutely love him in this role. I know you did not like Lily, the actress, playing the lead character Lily. I think she's wonderful. I love her. And I love the science fiction. I will say that if you're missing Legion, here's my sell to you, Roby. If you're missing Legion, it has the same kind of spectacle as Legion and the same kind of weird music and the weird kind of moments that of just weirdness and odd imagery like Legion. But then also this kind of like also haunting of like Twin Peaks kind of. It's not a story like either one of those, but it has that same tone and that same feel. And then it's just, it's kind of a murder mystery, right? I mean, we the audience see the murder, but the main lead woman is solving the murder of her boyfriend from this sci-fi tech facility, super secret facility called Devs that is run by Nick Offerman. Who is the weirdest, most bizarre, but wonderful character. I'm sure he's actually a terrible person. I mean, his character. But I'm enjoying every minute he's on the screen. Dean, get back into this show.
The plot is fine. even Nick Offerman's motives are fine because he lost his daughter, his young daughter. And so the whole point is he's created this concept of time, not jump, but they can look through time. So it's basically, he makes this whole thing so he can see his daughter when she was still alive. But I'm sorry. Like I couldn't get past, like I got 5 or 6 episodes in. I couldn't get past the terrible acting of the lead actress, Lily. Like people made fun of Keanu Reeves in The Matrix of how wooden he was, and now he's now like this, you know. And now Keanu Reeves is like a fantastic. You look at John Wick. John Wick movies are awesome. This woman will never be a John Wick. She is. It's when we talk about wooden acting, she is Pinocchio, but before the fairy ever puts her wand on him, she is just a wooden puppet.
I disagree. I'm surprised
she gets off. She's terrible. She's terrible.
You just don't like her look. She has little short boy haircut.
No, she's flat chested. She's cute. She's fine. She's,
I think
cute.
She's adorable. She's not the traditional lead Hollywood role. No. She's not beautiful, glamorous. I know what it is. I know what it is. She's almost mumbles a little bit. I watch the show with subtitles. You know,
She doesn't talk with emotion. She has no emotion. She's like a fucking robot.
It's like
she might as well be a sex doll talking.
It's like she has that thing where people have two extra teeth, like a extra teeth. You know,
That's not what you want from an actress.
She's got too many teeth.
You don't want that from your lead actress.
She's
terrible.
She's fine. She's not terrible. That's wrong. Roby, please watch
Devs. Don't ever watch it. Never
please watch Devs. It's on Hulu.
You should never watch Devs.
That's not true.
I will watch Devs, and I will give my opinion when I do.
Yeah. When you quit after episode 3, you'll prove that I'm right.
She's... Roby, watch with an open mind.
I will say I quit after episode 3.
Don't quit. And Dean, please
finish. I always watch everything with an open mind.
Dean, did you not get to the part where it's revealed how Nick Offerman's daughter dies?
Yes. But that wasn't the problem. I didn't care about it anymore because that he's not the main character. She's the main character. I didn't care about her. I didn't care about her relationship with the spy.
I love Jamie now. Her ex-boyfriend that she's
recruited to help her. Who was a spy who should have been killed?
No, that's Sergey. That's Sergey. Jamie is the guy that she's gone to for help with the beard.
Oh, he sucks too. I hate his beard.
No, I love him.
I hate his beard.
You are prejudiced against Asian people.
Are you saying Nick Offerman in this?
No, Nick Offerman's fine in this. He's fine in this. And in fact, Jamie,
Nick Offerman?
But it's not. In fact, it's not like fun Nick Offerman. It's like sad, depressed Nick Offerman.
Creepy hippie Nick Offerman. Creepy hippie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't get past the acting. And even Jamie, I like him in other things because he's in, the show? I just saw him in something recently. The Anna Kendrick show on, I don't remember if it's HBO or Apple, The Love Life. It's HBO. HBO Max, Love Life.
I haven't watched it. That. I still can't get HBO Max.
Okay.
Oh my God. I just have to say.
We're not getting into that today.
I'm so mad about that. Yeah, okay. I went through it on the Fire Stick at my mother's
no,
house.
No, it's not on Fire Stick.
Oh, it was on there for a day on July 30th, okay. But then as of August 1st, it was fucking down. There was no way to get it back on. Nothing.
It's another episode. Anyway, I liked him on that show. He's good on that. But on this show, he sucks. He sucks. He's not believable as an actor. The girl's not believable as an actress. They ruin the whole show.
It's not true. They're doing like this sci-fi weird acting, like a Blade Runner kind of acting. No, it's not. It's intentional. You know what else I love? Are the people at the Dev Center. The blonde Katie and then the kid, Lyndon, one who gets fired.
Yeah.
And the old man, they're great.
Yeah, great. Anyway, let's move on.
All right. Hey, Roby. A major show. Okay. Sad Trumpet. A major show. Major show in my life for the past what, 8 years, maybe longer, and yours too, came to an end this week. Pour one out for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and take my sweet tea and just pour it on the floor here.
Mm-hmm.
Show that I started watching from the very first episode.
Same.
A show that packed so much into a season that I tried to go back and remember everything that happened between the seasons, between 1 and 4, and couldn't remember what was between each season. There was so much going on. There was heartache, love. There was the budding relationship of Fitzsimmons, the backstory of Agent Coulson, the every piece of this show did not miss a mark, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it when it crossed into the MCU movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sad it stopped crossing into the MCU. And they even had a way to get them out of there when the snap happened so they wouldn't know about it. They did everything perfect. And the characters, they made you feel for them along the way. Even the bad guys had agency.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Hydra.
Hydra, the tension that they managed to ramp up season after season, because at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or, you know, the whole concept of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the comic books was always fighting Hydra, right? That was the big thing that S.H.I.E.L.D. agents did.
Right.
And they brought it, yes. they brought it to life so perfectly and believably for such a fantastical show, right?
Right, brought in the Inhumans.
Uh-huh, yep. Quake, we got some Quake. That's a comic book character, a staple from
Tremors,
the Inhumans.
Yes.
Isn't she Quake in the, she's not Quake in the comic, she's Tremors is what Matt called her.
No, she's
her.
Quake,
yes,
her
she's
nickname.
Quake.
Right.
So, Dean, this, if you love Marvel movies the way you claim you love them, there is no excuse for you not to watch this show. This is a show you could start watching with your daughters. It's a network show. There is some sexual content, I guess, especially in the first season between May and Ward. But I mean, it's network. It's not anything that I think that your kids probably haven't seen, probably on half those stupid ass game shows you watch.
Oh, what? You mean great game shows like Cannonball and Floor is Lava?
So, I think if you want to give them like real story and some real science fiction to sink their teeth into, again, as Roby mentioned, just strong characters. I mean, you know Phil Coulson from the movies, so that's your through line right there. But there are some characters that kind of ebb and flow in and out. Like, you know, I was a little surprised and sad, Roby, I just want to say about the finale. I want to talk specifically finale with you, but I love that they brought Piper and what's his face back. I loved seeing them. And I kept thinking, where's Bobby and Hunter? Where's Bobby and Hunter? I mean, for the finale, they couldn't get those two people back. I missed them. I loved them.
Oh yeah. It was nice to see, you know, but the two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't miss Bobby and Hunter. I mean, they've been gone so long, they're not part of the team anymore.
Yeah.
Deke.
Deke was my new favorite. Sorry, say it again. I talked over.
Yes, Deke was great. D-Man. D-Man, D-Man. Yeah.
Deke.
He got a great ending in an alternate timeline. It was...
So Dean, Deke is this character, I don't even want to spoil it, but okay, the two best characters, really, because we could go on this whole ensemble, but the two very best are Gemma Fitz and Leo Fitz, Gemma Simmons, the sci-tech team known as Fitzsimmons, and really, I think these were the first acting roles for both of these young actors. They're not super young, they're not kids, they definitely grow, you know, grow up in the show, and they just get better and better. And they, all the acting is really good. I mean, cause Clark Gregg and Ming-Na Wen are just great actors. They can carry it. But yes, when you look at Elizabeth Henstridge and Ian DeCasticker, oh my gosh, I see big things in the future for both of those actors because they are phenomenal. I think every time Gemma cries, I start crying, especially in this finale. Now, I knew it was going to be this big emotional moment when they finally brought Fitz back in. And then when they started, when she started getting her memory back and things, and what, you know, what are we fighting for? It's something big. I knew there was going to be a kid involved. I was like, oh, there's a kid. Especially when they showed that there was time for them to have a life. And so, Dean, they did a lot of time travel and stuff.
I knew there was...
Go ahead.
I knew there was going to be a kid involved.
Mm-hmm.
When the episode where she was losing her memories when they were mind-probing her.
Oh.
I knew right then, okay, they're going to stay there. There's going to be a kid involved. We might lose Fitz. I didn't think we did. But there'll be a child. Mm-hmm. And that's why she was crying so much.
Yeah. But I still bawled anyway. Even when the kid came running into her arms, right. I lost it.
Exactly. I was tearing up and bawling and crying just like I did when her final, the previous episode, her final memory of Fitz left. Who's Fitz? It's great acting, characters that made you care about them.
Mm-hmm.
From season one to season seven, waiting for these two people to finally get it right, and all the times circumstances screwed it up, and then they screwed it up themselves a couple of times.
Yeah and then I mean, some of the funny moments too, there were some real high highs, but Deke. So what's so great about Deke, Dean, he's a character that's introduced much later in the season. So hopefully you'll forget this by the time you start watching it.
Season five.
There is a season. Yeah. Season five, they go to the future and Fitz and Simmons meet Deke or Simmons meets him and Fitz learns later. Deke is their grandson. So then they bring him back to, and of course he's like the same age as they are. But they bring him back into their time with them, and he still calls them Nana and Bobo. I loved it. And what was great, Roby, Deke really shined in this finale when he's trying to help Gemma get her memories back, and he starts doing a Fitz impression.
It was a great impression.
Was there anything funnier? It was really good. And, of course, bringing back Agent Sousa.
Yes, he needed to stay once they got him in there.
Were you a fan of Agent Carter as well? I think you were.
I watched it. Not a great fan. I mean, it's only two seasons. It was all right.
I loved it.
But I wasn't a super fan, but I did enjoy his character, and it was neat to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised when they kept him going.
I loved it. And potential spinoff maybe with Daisy and Sousa and Cora, right? It's rumors.
Right. She's up for it, and I'm sure the rest of them are too. Right.
I'll watch for sure. But it'll probably be on Disney Plus.
She wants to keep playing the character, yes.
Yeah.
So when did Iron Man?
I would assume it definitely would be.
We didn't get Iron Man.
The next episode.
Yeah. Oh, the next one. All right. Next season?
Episode five.
I'm going to watch that season then.
Please watch it, Dean. I will be so envious of somebody's experience watching it for the first time. It's going to be.
I will look forward to it. My girls and I have actually been doing an MCU rewatch this summer, so we're almost up to Infinity War. We're close to the end, so this will be a good next adventure for us to start watching. So, yes, this might be our fall watch party.
I'll tell you the point to watch it where you should have started is after the first Avengers when Coulson dies. That's the point to start watching. Because if you
right,
and if you pick back up in later movies and Coulson's alive, no, I guess he's only alive in Captain America,
which is in Marvel, which is back in time. So
Captain Marvel, yeah. But I guess they don't reference him being alive in any of the future movies, do they?
Nope.
But still, that's the point to watch it. Oh, that's right. Because Tahiti, it's a magical place. And speaking of Coulson, the very, very end, that also teared me up because Clark Gregg can just wink at a camera I would get emotional. And when he mm-hmm. had the car and he flew and he just said cool and then flew off like all Grease style, Sandy and Danny from Grease. It was great though.
He got his baby back.
Was
and you know he was flying to May. He was going to just pick up May for a space date.
Was it his Lola car?
It was.
I watched the first like,
yes,
not half first season. So yeah,
it was. All right. Well, anything else to say about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Roby? I'm going to be so sad to see this show gone.
I think we should have been talking about it this whole season.
Oh, there's a lot to talk about for sure. Dean, you'll have to report in similarly to how I report in on Parks and Rec, which admittedly I haven't watched in a few weeks. When you start watching it, please report in so that Roby and I can vicariously have like this rewatch experience through your eyes.
Will do.
All right, I think it is time we get into some homework. All right, so Dean, we had some homework assignments from not our last episode, but our episode before. So gosh, we're a little late getting back on our homework. I guess we're tardy, but we did do our homework assignments, and you had assigned me Brockmire, season 3, episode 3, called The Yips. I did watch it. I did enjoy it. I don't think I was fully prepared for Hank Azaria's character. He's full on in a character, you know.
Oh, that's, yes.
And he's a little. It was a little like off-putting at first because it's not his cadence and everything is kind of off. And then I was so distracted by Martha Plimpton. Dean, you may be too young to know that Martha Plimpton was a bit of a hottie back in the day.
Really?
Hottie no more. And I don't want to, like, shame anyone because, listen, I'm not one to talk. But, woo, Martha Plimpton. I was like, is that Martha Plimpton?
Yeah.
The whole episode, I was like, that can't be Martha Plimpton. Wow.
No, she's a hard life. She's from the Goonies, right? Like, she's the blonde from the Goonies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, and she was in, she dated River Phoenix back in the day.
Yeah.
She was one of the lucky ones who got to fuck him. And every girl wanted to, believe me.
It's funny because I can imagine her as the Goonies when she's, like, you know, an older teen. But I can't imagine Hank Azaria at that age. So he seems so much older than her. But in this episode, you know, in this show, they're like the same age. So it is weird to think that. Yeah.
You want to see a good movie? Watch Mosquito Coast. This was a late 80s movie. Martha Plimpton and River Phoenix in it, as well as a very extremely hot, as if River Phoenix wasn't hot enough. Then you also have the extremely muscular, beautiful Harrison Ford.
Yeah, and he's still alive.
Of his glory in this one too. Yeah, he's great in it. It's a good movie too. He's like the crazy dad that moves this family out into the middle of nowhere to live off the earth and be all sustainable. And of course, it goes horribly wrong for them.
So, did you like Azaria's insane? Yeah, well, like I told you, the whole concept is he is an alcoholic baseball announcer, but at this point he is a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
But you could still obviously sense that in his character.
Oh yeah. I loved the story. I loved how he was trying to stick to it, but he really hadn't done the steps. Like you mentioned, that was going to be a moment.
Yeah.
I love the side characters other than what wasn't digging on Martha Plimpton clearly, but I love J.K. Simmons' character. Yes.
I was about to say my favorite scene is the interaction of them in the bathroom.
Yes, with what's his face with his pants down. What do they call him? Assy McGee or something. Yes. Calls him something.
Yeah, but just even just the fact that Hank Azaria calls, like he talks to himself while he's peeing, and he's like, "And now Brock Meyer is about to take a piss." And
yes.
But they have the whole exchange where Hank J.K. Simmons is dying of cancer. He tells him, "You're the first person that's going to be honest. Let me hear it." And Azaria just shreds him, even though he's dying of cancer. Yeah. Tells him just how shitty of a person he is.
So great. And Richard Kind is Assy.
Yes. Yeah,
Assy. And you know, he's in Curb Your Enthusiasm too. So if you enjoy that actor, you should really, I don't know if you've had a chance to go back and watch any more Curb, but he's great in that as well. Yeah, I would definitely watch more of this show. I'm glad you brought it to my attention.
I would definitely suggest you start it from the beginning because it starts off as just a classic. He's a drunk and he starts off in the smallest situation. And the series gets bigger each season. And as I think I told you when I assigned this, by the final season, which is just wrapped up a couple weeks ago or a month ago or so, it time jumps to like the year 2030, where the world is almost half ending, but baseball is still somehow going on. So like the country's melting in certain parts. There's like volcanoes and shit happening, and like people are rioting in certain states, but somehow there's still Major League Baseball going on. And he's still somehow he's actually a general manager of a team or something at this point. And so like it kind of made me think of the fact that we're still trying to make football and stuff happen during COVID. So it's like kind of a very exaggerated analogy to this, but it's a great like I said, it jumps, it just gets higher and higher in ridiculousness each season,
and now it has officially ended, so I could actually just binge the whole
I believe
shebang.
This was the final season.
I'm gonna watch it. I can't say when, but I you know might watch it at the same pace you're watching Curb, but it's definitely gonna be to get watched.
All right, my homework assignment from you was Mr. Robot. It was I had it written in front of me. I don't have it in front of me, but it's the silent episode.
Season five.
It was the silent
episode. Season four. Season four, episode five, entitled Method Not Allowed.
Yes. Method Not Allowed, and the big concept of this episode was it was a, quote, silent episode, which is not completely silent. There are two lines of dialogue to open and close the episode, but it is a kind of a, not a trope, I would say, but it is a strategy that many series have kind of pushed to where it's a minimal dialogue-based episode. So there's minimal speaking. I found the episode very technically interesting. I'm going to have to say, because I'm not a Mr. Robot watcher, I really didn't care for what was going on in the sense of I wasn't bought into anything.
Yeah.
But I technically found it fantastic. I liked the concept of it. I was held to attention of it. Now, what I will say, and I, after I watched it, I looked up a couple of reviews of the episode just so I could see what other people said. And I found something I agreed with. And we've talked about this episode before when you gave me the Buffy homework. I told you one of my favorite episodes of Buffy that I had watched was the episode Hush.
Oh, yeah.
Which was their version of the silent episode, which it wasn't completely silent, but it was like 27 minutes of silence because the concept was all their voices were taken.
Right.
I like the fact that in those type of shows, there's a reason why they're not talking. In this Mr. Robot episode, there were several points to where I felt like they should have talked to each other. Like, there was no reason for them not to have talked to each other. But it was clear that it was like, oh, we're making the show that they're not going to talk to each other, so they won't talk to each other. And it worked. It wasn't completely, like, off-putting, but I did find myself saying, like, well, why didn't they just say something to each other at that point?
Well, I don't think we're meant to believe that they were being silent. It's just the parts we saw were silent moments. So it wasn't that the characters were intentionally giving each other the silent treatment or something. It's just the only moments of dialogue we saw were related to talking and not talking. And then the moments of the plot that we were privy to, because you know, in shows like this, you got to know characters are doing things even when we're not watching, right? So, I think it was high concept for sure, but not necessarily meant that the characters were being intentionally silent.
Right. And I get that, but I guess I would have
disagree.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Roby.
Oh.
So I disagree. The first words were said at the beginning, and then they sit back as they're going to where they're going to go. Mm-hmm. And they're not talking. They're in their own little world. Then they get in the building and they're being quiet on purpose. They know what they have to do. They're trying to be quiet. They're going through all this stuff. The security guards come in. Then they're rushing out. Now, they could be talking, but they're running. Mm-hmm. And then they get split up. There's nobody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
They finally make it back together. He gets in the car. He's collecting his breath. She's probably tense. And then finally she says something. They were quiet because they did not need to talk that whole time.
But you got to imagine when they planned the bank heist. There was
nothing to say.
But the part where we didn't see them was planning. They had to talk that through.
That's before the episode. Yeah, that was before the episode started, if I recall.
Oh, they'd already planned it out. They
were on the way to this heist.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They'd planned this out before. In the previous episodes, they were waiting to do this thing on a certain day. So I believe it starts out with them in the car, does it not, Dean?
Mm-hmm.
Since you've seen it the soonest. Yeah. It starts out with them in the car. She says something to him. Mm-hmm. And then
he had just seen Wellick die, and they had gotten, like, their plan had gotten all fucked up because they were supposed to have executed that plan like the day before or whatever. They were running behind with it because they'd gotten separated and he went through all that crap with Wellick. And Darlene had to find him in the middle of nowhere. So he was emotionally really fucked up, and that's why he didn't want to talk about it.
I will say, Roby, that's why.
I've been through things.
You're good. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been through things like that. Yeah. Edit this out, Tim.
You go, Roby. You've been through things.
Okay. Well, so I've been in situations where I'm working on something with a bunch of people. We don't talk. And that's just it. You know, you're focusing on your job.
Yeah. I think, like you said, you said it right. They didn't need to talk, which it still worked for me. But I think, like you said, and I guess this was my thing, because this is the first episode of this show I've watched. I haven't seen the other episodes. To me, it just seemed gimmicky to me, to where I didn't get that. Like, I got the concept that they didn't need to talk, but because I hadn't seen it, I haven't seen, like you said, the preamble before this, to where what emotions they might be feeling. So I didn't maybe see the emotion of why they would be more silent. And it almost just seemed like, yeah, they didn't need to talk, but in real life, maybe they should be talking. So I appreciated it. I really did. Mm-hmm. I appreciated the concept. I enjoyed the episode, but because I was, you know, and this is part of our homework, because I'm thrusted in the middle, I didn't get the full, I don't think I got the full perception of it. Now, I will say the bad guys, they're called Evil Corp.
So it's E Corp. It's like they're like an Amazon or whatever. They're just a big mega corporation. But Rami Malek's character. Oh my god, I can't even believe it. Elliot. Elliot in season one talks about how must stand for evil, even though it doesn't. Oh. And so in his mind, every time he sees the logo. He converts it to evil, and so we are seeing things through his eyes. It's really good.
Then that makes sense, because when I saw that, I was like, "Wait, really? They're called Evil Corp? Yeah. That's a little ugh."
I hope, because this is also a show that episode really helped their face acting show. Carly Chalkin, who plays Darlene, and then of course Rami Malek. They did such great face acting in this. And also the way Mr. Robot is filmed start to finish. Sam Esmail just does an amazing job with this real interesting way of filming things with like heads down in you know, like the lower part of the screen and stuff like that. And I don't know that that concept really came through in this silent episode. But I think, I hope that you saw enough there, especially in the acting and in the intrigue, to perhaps go back and start it from the beginning. It's a show I cannot recommend enough. Yeah. And Roby, I've been
it's definitely one I've been interested in. I hope that it's one that I will eventually, because me and my wife were interested in when it started. So I'm hoping it's one we'll go back and watch. Yeah.
Roby, what would you say to talk Dean into watching Mr. Robot from the start?
Well, because Lisa and I said to.
That's all I need.
Fair enough.
Do. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, Roby, I believe you have some homework for us, please, sir. We're ready.
Much like an economics teacher, I have homework that you probably don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an economics teacher.
Do you give homework that people don't want to
really?
Do?
But I don't give homework. We don't do homework in my class.
Of course not. So, Roby, the thing that we know about...
I am going to recommend...
Oh. Well, let me just say, let me preface this.
No, go ahead.
Let me preface this for listeners who don't know. Roby likes a lot of the same shows that Dean and I like. That's what drew us together to start from. Our love of Legion and Preacher and Better Call Saul and Watchmen and all kinds of shows that we've covered that Roby's followed right along with us. So, and then I believe you've even taken some of our recommendations, perhaps, Roby. And I know, because we've put some tweets out there about like favorite shows of all time, I know we have a little differing opinion on a few shows. So I'm nervous for this homework, I'm just going to say. Because you know I'm a television snob. You know I am. And you know it's hard for me to change my mind about things that I get real snobbish about. So, okay. I just wanted to say that fair and square to start.
And knowing that, which totally surprises me about you not liking this show, I'm going to give you two. They're half-hour episodes, different parts of different seasons, to kind of let you see the characters and see the character development of something you don't want to watch, The Big Bang Theory.
I knew it!
Oh, no.
I knew it! You know I hate this show. You know it.
Roby, Big Bang Theory? God damn.
I'm going to do it for you, Roby.
Have you actually watched The Big Bang Theory?
Unfortunately,
I'm
going to
do it, but I'm going to hate it.
Okay, well, I never really expected Dean to like it because he always seems like a little bit of a jock, a little bit of a how do you put this, not totally nerd-like. But Lisa, you're so much like me in so many ways. I figured this would be one of the shows that you would kind of gravitate to because it has comic book references, movie references, references from stuff from our childhood, and it also has great character development that goes from season one to season 12, and the actors and the stories and everything gets better and better and better, so much so that every time I watch the season finale or the series finale, I'm actually crying, just tears rolling down my face. That's, you know, how good this show is and how much I care about these characters.
You're not the first person to recommend this show to me. You're not. People who I admire and love very much in my family, friends that are close to me, have recommended this show. And I swear to you, every time I have tried to watch it, which has been little because I can't hardly get past the first like five words of any episode I've ever tried, I'm like, oh God, I hate him. And honestly, now that I've watched Hollywood, on Netflix, Ryan Murphy's most recent show. Mm-hmm. And what's the actor's name from Big Bang Theory that was in that?
Parsons.
Jim Parsons.
Jim Parsons. And he was so good.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And I thought, wow, now he's really a good actor. I should maybe have, I discredited him because I just couldn't stand his character on Big Bang Theory at all. At all. So, I mean.
Right. He's playing, he's a great actor and he's playing a character. And it's his character is somebody that is over the top, but all of us can see a little bit of ourselves in him. Or in this people around them. So I'm going to recommend first season 2, episode 11. It's called The Bath Item Gift Hypothesis. And in this episode,
say it again, the title. I'm sorry.
He discovers the Bath Item Gift Hypothesis.
Okay.
In this episode, he discovers that his next door neighbor, Penny, has given him a gift and he's anxious about the gifts because he wants to give a reciprocating gift, and his solution is genius and his reaction to his gift is genius, and the whole episode is just, it makes you feel good. And there's something in the character development you've never seen before in that episode.
Okay.
So I'm going to recommend that one first.
Okay.
Okay. The next episode I'm going to recommend is season 11, episode 24, The Bowtie Asymmetry. Now, this is actually the wedding of this character, Sheldon Cooper and Amy Farrah Fowler. And I recommended it because there's a lot of heart to it. There's a lot of humor. And more importantly, there's a lot of guest stars.
Okay.
And the guest stars sometimes make this show. You've got Kathy Bates. Ooh. You've got Teller. You've got Mark Hamill. You've got Will Wheaton. Huh? You've got, Kevin, the
Nealon?
Chubby kid from Stand By Me, from Stand By Me, who's not chubby anymore.
Oh, that married Rebecca Romaine.
Oh shit. He's got,
Jerry. His name's Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry McConnell.
McConnell. That's what it is. Yeah.
We got there.
Right.
I was like, he's got the twin brother.
And then, of course, you've got Sheldon's very, very religious mother, played by, all of a sudden, her name escapes me. She was the sister on Roseanne, Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I knew she played. And I do love Laurie Metcalf. I do love her. So, okay.
I mean, she's in this show. She's in this episode.
Ruby, I will go in with an open mind.
Watch this episode.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
You really need to.
Yeah.
Because I said, you really need to, because this is actually a show made for you and you just don't know it yet.
Oh God.
Now, can I defend myself?
Honestly.
Yes.
Is
Dean.
There any chance that's possible?
Yeah. Roby, look, I know I seem like I mean, you can't see this, but I'm flexing for the camera. I seem like a jock. Now, I played sports, of course, in high school and stuff. As a teacher, I've coached football, softball, soccer, track. I've all the trades. And I am very into sports. And yeah, I know, because I tweet about Clemson football, you think that I'm only into sports. But I have been a comic fan since I've been in the fifth grade. I collected Marvel cards when I was a kindergartner, when Marvel cards, like the trading cards, were cool back in the early 90s. I've been a geek or a nerd or whatever ever since. Just because I'm a jock, it doesn't mean I'm not into nerd culture. So I'm all in. Like, I appreciate the concept of Big Bang Theory. I'm just not into the concept of CBS sitcoms.
Yeah.
Now, saying that, I have watched a couple of episodes of Big Bang Theory, and there have been some things I've chuckled at, but I'm also the concept of it's at this age of television, it's hard for me to watch the laugh tracks because it throws me off. And things like that. And that's really what has turned me off of Big Bang Theory and shows mm-hmm. like that. Now, saying that, at the same time, of course, I love old sitcoms like Friends and Seinfeld and, you know, these old shows in the 90s that had laugh tracks. And it didn't seem to distract me as much when I watched those. But for some
reason... Seinfeld that Roby hates, remember?
Yeah. That's oh god. I won't get into that. Anyway, but anyway, I will go full into these episodes. I'm gonna watch them, and I will go into with an open mind. I'll be unbiased, and trust me, Roby, just because I am gracefully younger than both of you, you know, I still am very much into the culture. And I will appreciate the culture of nerd culture because I have nerd culture in my heart. Like I said, I am a comic fan. Like I have boxes of comics in my house of old Marvel comics because that's what I was into. And books like card books that you would think would be baseball cards because you would think I'm a jock, but they're baseball card books full of Marvel cards. So I am into the references. I will appreciate them. I just will not appreciate the laugh tracks, and I hate Johnny Galecki. But other than that, I will watch these Big Bang Theory episodes.
And see, I will like give Johnny Galecki, heart. Too. I do. I like him a lot from Roseanne.
You know what Johnny Galecki reminds me of in that show? In the 90s, I did a play by Neil Simon called Come Blow Your Horn, and I played the character called Buddy. And I played that character like Beaver from Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Just that, you know, what are you doing? You know, kind of thing. And he seems like he's trying so hard. He's not acting. He's like, no, that's what I'm doing. And his character, I admit, I look at it like, why did he do it this way? But he does it so consistently for 12 seasons. He never changes who that character is, and except for the growth of that character. And every one of these actors kept that character consistent. So, and that's what I appreciated about it. Mm. You grew with the characters. You learned to love their characters, even the ones that are annoying as hell. And they grow. So by the end of it, you see how this one character you think would never, ever be able to get certain concepts by having these friends has become a better human being. And that's the series finale, which I almost recommended it just for that part right there of him acknowledging his friends and his growth. But I thought, no, we're not going to go there.
I did hear that the finale was really good on this show. I did hear that.
I mean, it just blew me away, and I've seen it 4 or 5 times now, and every time I do, it chokes me up.
Where can we watch the Big Bang Theory?
That's my recommendation.
Is this on Hulu? Can we get these
HBO? It's on HBO. It's on HBO Max, and I believe you both.
It's problematic for me.
Lisa can't do it because she has that damn fucking Fire Stick.
Well, no, I've got that, and I've got a Roku, which it's on neither of those, and then I have Comcast Xfinity Cable, which also right. can't fucking get it together. So I don't get it. But, I mean, how much of my money does HBO want? What the hell?
Are you paying for HBO Max?
I'm paying for HBO, and it's supposed to be included for HBO subscribers.
Maybe you can get it online. Maybe if you go online, you can do it.
Oh, Dean, I've tried. I tried all these like backdoor downloader software on the nothing is. It's blocked at every turn. It's
you know what?
Ridiculous.
Then I guess I'll watch it.
I've got.
Is it on? I don't have CBS All Access.
I've got HBO Max. I think it's only on HBO Max, but you can get HBO Max on your smartphone. If they've given you a subscription for it because you're an HBO subscriber, mm-hmm. put it on your smartphone and watch it right there. I mean, I mirror mine to my TV when I need to.
Mm.
But I also sit here with this thing when I'm playing my guitar and put my smartphone right next to me, and I'll watch TV on my smartphone.
Well, I mean, hell, TBS airs so like there are 15 options. Big Bang Theory episodes a day, so it might be on just randomly.
Right.
Every time it starts to come on, I can't get to my remote fast enough to change the channel.
Oh, no.
And it is actually what I go looking for first, because I know when it comes on TBS and when it comes on Fox.
Damn.
I put it on as background. I have the DVDs sitting up there for the first 8 seasons.
Wow.
Roby, I have to ask. All right, since we're here and since you don't like Seinfeld, can I ask? I'm going to ask you, I'll say a name of a show. I got to know what you think of those shows. Okay. So I'm going to say this name of the show. You just give me your first
rapid fire reaction. Style. Rapid fire style.
All right. Let's you ready?
Do it. I'm ready. Right.
Friends.
Great show.
Parks and Rec.
Don't find it funny.
The Office.
Haven't seen any.
Frasier.
Love that show.
Seinfeld. Cheers. Oh.
He hates Seinfeld.
Cheers. Pretty good. Okay, yeah. Seinfeld. I have watched episodes of it. I cannot stand the way they treat each other and everybody around them.
All right. Everybody Loves Raymond.
No. No.
Not everybody. I don't love that show. Yeah, that's what Sean and I say. Not everybody.
I kind of thought maybe he'd like it considering his other episodes or the other thing. 2 and a Half Men.
I might laugh when I watch it, and I'll laugh when I watch clips from it, but I'm not going to go seeking it out.
Yuck. Oh, God. Tell me you don't watch Two Broke Girls.
Stupidest show in the world.
I
Will and Grace.
Oh, I love Will and Grace now. Come on.
This isn't for you.
I know, but don't go there on Will and Grace.
No, that's not saying anything what I think about it. I want to say what Roby thinks about
Roby, Will and Grace.
Did not enjoy it.
Agreed.
People hate Deborah Messing. I love her. I love her
in Umbrella Academy, I tell you that much.
She's in season 2, Umbrella Academy?
Yeah, of course she is. She's back, baby.
I haven't watched it yet. Okay, no, we'll have to try to save that for our next episode. Roby, did you watch Umbrella Academy?
I went to start the first episode of season 2 and realized I wanted to watch season 1 over again. So since Monday night, I've already watched both seasons again.
Hell yes. Did you like them? Do you like them?
Oh, I enjoyed them. I can't wait for season 3.
Yes. I'm so like, when I rewatched season 1, I wasn't sure how much I would like get in. And I watched the first season, bam, in like 2 days. Season 2, I watched it in 2 days. Oh, so good. So good. If I'm telling you, if exactly. We talked about this the other week, if you watch the show, just watch it for fucking number 5. Number 5 is the best. If this kid doesn't have a future in acting, I will be shocked. He is so damn good.
He is.
He plays. He's they're all good, but he is really good.
Yes.
Agree.
The fact that he plays like he plays a 60-year-old man as a 13-year-old, so like it's ridiculous as far as how he just epitomizes how much older he is than everyone else, but he's a child and he just overacts everyone he's on screen with. It's so good.
Well, Umbrella Academy, yes, I'm sad to say. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I agree. He looks like an old man in a young man's body the way he pulls this off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've loved season one. Love the source material. We've talked about it. I've had no time in my life to do anything, it seems. So I've not watched season two. My mother has already watched all of season two. So I, once again, late to the party. I will commit to watching it so that we can talk about it. It hopefully, and you know, not wait, have to wait a year like we did for Mandalorian. So Dean, we will get on some Umbrella Academy discussion in our upcoming episodes.
Yep.
But on that note, we have some homework. We've discussed some of our current shows we're watching, and I think it's a good time to wrap up. So I want to say to everybody, please email us shows that we have not talked about that you'd like to hear us discuss, yada, yada. Just shoot us a note. We'd love to hear from you. Just like Roby, you just got to take a chance and email us. We're nice people. We'll reply. That's MikeTVPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, or you can catch us on Twitter at MikeTV1 or at Rockdale_Tiger, or you can catch Roby on Twitter at Remotes_1. Yes. And just catch us all and let us know what you're watching. Let us know what you want us to watch, or tell us how much you like us, don't like us, whatever. If you literally give us a comment, we'll talk about it. So It doesn't matter. We don't care. So.
Yeah, I mean, you just can tell us that we suck, and we'll talk about that too.
And we'll tell you how much you suck. So yeah, you just let us know.
Yeah. Anyway, Roby, thank you again for joining us. We've enjoyed having you on our episode this evening, and enjoyed speaking with you as always.
Thank you. I enjoyed being on also. I've actually wanted to do this for quite a while so I can argue with y'all properly.
Good.
And I promise the next time you have me on, my internet problems will be fixed and there will be no more delay or latency. Remotes one off.
All right, everybody. So until next time, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Dean.
And he's Roby.
And Roby, slightly delayed, but it's
Roby
okay.
On delay. Please remember to
keep it thorough.
I was hoping Roby would come in on the delay.
Like 30 seconds.
I know.
Roby, you're still good. You should just do it at this point.
Yeah, I know. It'd be funny.
Keep it thorough.
Keep it thorough.
Talk to you next time.
Oh.